So the galley, by the early 12th century, by the mid-12th century, the Christians have, without a doubt, the finest of warships available. The Muslims just cannot compete with these fleets. There were also developments in transport vessels. They're usually lumped together as round ships. There's a whole variety known under Italian and Provençal names. And these were ships that were adapted ever more to shipping supplies and passengers east. It's important to stress how the tonnage increased. We have ships that we have good documents that 600 tons, they could carry a crew of 100, many, many passengers. In the Fourth Crusade, Venice will construct a series of transport vessels that could carry 50 war horses. And these are extremely complicated vessels in which the horses are marched up on a ramp. They're put into lower levels of the ship. They're actually put in these contraptions where they're suspended. They're in leather sort of like the equivalent of a horse hammock, so the horse's legs won't be damaged. And this is an enormous improvement on earlier shipbuilding techniques. In antiquity, as far as I know, no ancient vessel could ever carry more than 30 war horses. Venice is able to construct ships in 1202, 1203 for 50 horses. We have reports that Genoa, for the crusade of Louis the Ninth, the last crusade, the Eighth Crusade, was capable of building ships that could convey not only 100 horses, but also their knights, their attendants, the squires. These are enormous improvements in shipbuilding technique and design. And all of these fleets and all of these improvements, while designed for warfare and the conveying of pilgrims, meant that the cities engaged in constructing these ships also had the ships available for trade and commerce. And these ships had to be built, they had to be maintained, and this had enormous economic implications for the development of trade in the 12th and 13th century. So the Crusades really are at the heart of fueling the great expansion of trade and shipbuilding that went on in the Mediterranean world. There was also a certain amount of impact in the northern waters, in the northern ship designs. Up until the 11th century, the Scandinavians were in the forefront. They had devised the long ships, later a more elaborate warship known as the dragon ship, the canar, a traveling vessel. Well, these designs were taken over and expanded, especially by the Germans, the Frisians, the English. And by the 12th century, the northern Europeans had impressive ships. They had much higher freeboard. They depended far more on sail rather than oars. And there are some arguments that these ships weren't always that well adapted for Mediterranean waters. But they could convey Western Europeans from the northern lands by sea along the shores of France and Spain in the Second Crusade, again in the Third Crusade. Fleets bound for Palestine to support the great armies actually stopped over in Portugal and on both occasions assisted the Portuguese in extremely important military operations, which led to the capture of Lisbon and the whole consolidation of Portugal into an independent kingdom. And that was a direct result of these Crusader fleets. It also brought Germans and Scandinavians on crusade. We have a Norwegian fleet showing up in 1110, assisting in the capture of Sidon. Shipbuilding across Europe responded to the increased demands of crusading warfare. This, in turn, led to important changes in commerce and in banking. We see already in Venice and Genoa contracts being drawn up in which partnerships, shares. These new vessels are so expensive that it takes whole companies, partnerships, to put a vessel out. Also, you try to avoid taking too much risk on investing in any one particular ship. What if you invest in a great cargo vessel, which is to carry pilgrims to usually to Acre or to Jaffa, one of the great ports in Palestine, and the ship goes down in a storm. You've just lost all your profits. So a tradition of diversifying your assets and coming up in complicated arrangements of sharing various ships. You have partnerships in different vessels, in different types of commodities. All of these changes are going on at ever higher rates of change in the maritime cities in Western Europe. It sees the development of bills of exchange, that is, of promissory notes, of the extension of credit. By the 13th century, there is a very well-developed system of credit so that you didn't actually have to ship the coin itself, that you could draw on bills of exchange between Acre and, say, Genoa.